Hey, everybody. Welcome to another session. It's Girl Club Friday, and I am happy to see you. I'm so happy to be with you two. Joining me today is Nova Page, who is an amazing worship leader and pastor and girlfriend and regular member of these Girl Club Fridays. And also today is Christina Boudreau, who is an evangelist and a member of the Whosoever's movement. If you don't know the movement, I strongly suggest you Google it. To start us off today, ladies, welcome. It's always been a crazy week, man, and I'm always curious to know what God is doing in your lives, because there seems to be this common thread of what God is doing in all of our lives from week to week. So who wants to... Nova, Christina, who's pregnant to share?
Boudreau?
I just have a testimony of the Lord's faithfulness in my life, man. That I want to share at any point. Okay, cool. So it was probably 3 weeks ago now, before I left for tour. It's when I hit up Cynthia and Roger, and I was like, yo, dude. I was coming back from LA from a photo shoot, and I got a call from my dad that said that the family member that raped me growing up is moving back in my house. And long story short, I was going to leave for almost like a 2 week tour, like 4 days after that. So I was completely thrown for a loop. I stayed with Cynthia and Roger for a couple of days. I had a strong conversation with my parents and said that when I get back from tour, I will not be staying in this house. And in the Indian culture, you don't do that. You don't address abuse. You don't leave. That's like a big, like, no-no. And a lot of my mom's Indian family lives in Corona, which is where they live. And so it wasn't just going to be leaving my immediate family, but like my entire family. And so long story short, I went on tour. God did amazing things on our tour. And when I got back, there was actually a church out in Thousand Oaks called Godspeed Calvary Chapel that transitioned me and my friends from the church that we were a part of last year that shut down, the global ministry that shut down. And God used this church in Thousand Oaks to transition my friends and I. And this has been the church that God's been putting on my heart to make my home church. The pastor has been on the news and stuff because he's been like worshiping and stuff and like hasn't closed his church, which has been awesome. It's Pastor Rob McCoy. It's Rob McCoy. Yeah, okay. He's been traveling a lot with like Charlie Kirk and like that whole crew. Mm. But Pastor Rob McCoy was the one that went to Montana. He transitioned all my friends and I as a third party. And so I just had a relationship with this church because of that. And so long story short, I just knew that the Lord said go. And so I went. Like, as soon as I got back from tour, I stayed with one of the pastors and his wife here. And I talked to them about renting a room out here. A door opened up. So long story short, I'm staying with a really good family and in Thousand Oaks. And this last Monday, I went back to my house to get some of my things. And both times I went back to get my stuff, I left with my parents screaming in my face and throwing the whole situation at me. And this last week, it kind of got crazy. I just went back to get my surfboard and a couple other things. Like, my mom basically was like, you know what? Like, let's just talk about it with this family member that lives with us, right? She was like, let's just talk about it. Let's just get it out in the open. Let's just address it. And that caused me to go into a full-blown panic attack. And I haven't had a really bad panic attack since probably January of last year in 2019. And it was one of those things to where, like, I literally was just like, I just need to leave, dude. I just need to leave. And, you know, me and my parents are like, okay now, but it was one of those things to where, even as I left, I told my parents, I'm never going to address this issue with you again. And it's none of your business to ever address it with this family member, because this family member's crazy and they've been convicted of killing people. Like, they will come after me. So it's just sad because I'm at a point where, like, I realize that my parents will never understand and I can never approach this conversation with them. But I'm finally in a healthy place where literally the place I'm staying at is 8 miles from the beach. which is like, I love surfing. It's a mile away from my friend's horses, and I'm going to be working with horses with her every week. It's 5 minutes from the church, and it's like right close to LA, so it's right close to my photo shoots, and it is amazing. So it's been a crazy couple of weeks, 4 weeks actually, but the Lord's been faithful to me, and cheers to new beginnings.
Cheers to new beginnings. Awesome.
All the esters are rising.
yeah. Without anchors and weights on their feet.
Yes. Yeah. So is where I'm at. I mean, it's been nuts, but it's one of those things to where, like, it was so crazy because when we were on tour, we actually went to a detention center in Montana that has kids who are, all the kids there were from the Indian reservations. And because of COVID, all of these kids were at home with their abusers. They have like 14 people that live in a one bedroom house. There's drugs, there's abuse, there's trafficking. And these kids were in juvie because they ended up getting violent with their abusers because they were trying to protect themselves. And they end up in juvie, and then they end up going back to that house because they feel like they have to protect. And the Lord showed me through that. He was like, you keep going back because you feel like you have to protect your family, and you keep going back because you feel like you have to like be the fixer, and you feel like you have to be the glue, but you will always be caught in that rat race if you stay there. And so it was actually on tour that the Lord really opened my eyes. And so going back home, now that I'm finally out of it, like, those family members will always make you feel guilty for leaving. But people, if you're in a situation where you're being abused or you're with someone who has abused you, you shouldn't feel guilty for leaving, you know, and getting out. So yeah, that's the message of the day.
Yeah. There's a question that came in. What do you mean transition, you and your friends?
Oh, yes. Okay. So there was a global ministry. It was actually just a church. It was called Potter's Field. It was located in Montana. My old leaders used to be like evangelists that traveled the world. They had a mission school. It was like a big deal. And, they were actually based out of Whitefish, Montana. And last year they closed in one day because there was me and 150 others that were abused in this ministry. And so this pastor of the church I'm attending now, he was the mayor of Thousand Oaks, but his term's done. And he's also the pastor of Godspeak. He stepped in the day the ministry closed because there was cops there. There was reporters there. And he stepped in, flew to Montana to counsel all the kids, transition them. His church gave $150,000 to this organization to make sure that the kids had 2 weeks worth of pay and flights home and make sure everyone got home safely. Because when the organization closed, you had all these kids who are our staff up there, who lived there, who worked there, who did ministry there, these leaders just left to their house in the mountains. Like, no one was there to help these kids transition. 90% of the kids were below the age of 25. Like, these were young kids. These weren't like, you know, older young adults. Right. So I already had that history with this pastor. And so when I say transition, a bunch of my friends were also on the mission field in Uganda, Cambodia, and Guatemala when the ministry closed. So he flew all of them back to Thousand Oaks and counseled them for a couple weeks before sending them home when the ministry closed also. So I had already spent 2 weeks here last year. So it was just cool to see how God, the same church I'm attending now, is the same church God used to help transition me. And I trusted them. I love them. I know them. So it wasn't like a hard transition. So.
Right. He provided an angel.
Yeah, he did.
It provided a safe harbor for you guys to land in, which is important with young people, especially in ministry, because you can only imagine the delusionment that happens. And it's interesting that the Bible says, and I'm going to paraphrase the scripture, but basically, you know, woe to those who hold the name of God in unrighteousness, you know? And I think about that a lot because what it says is, I mean, very, very heavy. Like, you know, it's like Jesus says, though not many of you should be leaders, should call yourself leaders, because that title comes with much more responsibility. And, you know, when you're holding the name of God as a believer, I mean, if you're doing it in unrighteousness and you're positioned in a position of leadership, you can make a mockery of people's faith, you know, and young people are so fragile. And when I say young people, I don't mean even just numerically, people who are young in the Lord.
Their faith.
Yeah.
And
we have a huge mantle that is, you know, we have as leaders, you know, and man, you just go, God, keep me close to your heartbeat. You know, I look at that situation, Christine, it just breaks my heart that happened. Yeah. And, you know, being in ministry for as many years as my husband and I have, we have seen it all. And not to like, oh, look at us, we're so good. All it does is go, God, may you keep us in a place where we know that we need you in every moment. Because, you know, if you start believing your own press, ooh, successful ministry, blah, blah, you know, it can really weigh on these leaders who even, I think sometimes because people's character hasn't been developed enough to carry the mantle that they're being given, or maybe it's been given by humans and really not by God. It was just like, you're great. You're extraordinary. You're so out there, but the character wasn't ready for what the platform that they were given. And it's crushing. And I think the most humble people will actually say, you know what? I'm not ready for that. So give me some time. And it's very, you know, our egos get in the way as leaders to go, oh my goodness, they want me to be like this leader. And sometimes the most humble thing you can do is just go, man, I'm so honored, but I'm not ready. And I'm just going to say that 99.9% of people have a hard time saying, thank you for that, I'm not ready. And I think, there's something to be said about the pause, because you know, you can just be this person who is so like, you know, you might not have the character or the development of personal developments and spiritual development, but you wow people, and then people love that because you're sparkling, you're the shiny new thing, but you haven't been developed and your root system hasn't gone deep enough so that when the winds come, you're like, yeah, it's swaying me, but I'm good. Mm-hmm. And I think as leaders, because God's called us each respectively into a leadership role, that we have to sit back and go really converse with God and say, am I ready for that? Even though people tell me, I mean, we just want people to just affirm me, tell me I'm good, tell me I'm great. I'm like, no, we have to go, God, show me very specifically. And then when people, I'll know when the right person, we have to be so connected to the Holy Spirit, but know when the right person has said and confirmed that moving into the next platform. But the truth is, a lot of the time we don't smell the perfume that we're given, like, oh, you're great. Yeah. We drink it. And it's very poisonous and toxic as leaders. It's just very toxic. Yeah. And that ego gets in the way. And then, you know, we end up, like, just, well, we end up in these sinful situations where people are abused and it just breaks God's heart. And it breaks my heart because some of the most powerful things in life and the most amazing thing, I think, is as you tour, Christina, with these kids and these meaningful moments, not everyone's going to see that. But God does. And it's not on the loudspeaker for everyone to see, like, look at me, I'm talking to this kid about, it's like, no, God just, he calls you into the small things that are big in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And in it, you know, and sometimes we think that ministry or leadership has to just be, you know, out there and everyone needs to know everything. And I'm just convinced as we live in this world of, you know, everybody know who I am and me generation, I'm just so convinced that Jesus is looking going, oh, my loves. Oh, my loves. Just step back from that. Yeah. Step back from it. And it's really hard because we get our value in what people think of us on social media, what we're doing, if we're good enough, if we're leaders, if we, you know, if we're connected here and there. And it's sad to me. And I know we all want to fulfill the purpose that God has purposed us for, but is it to be famous? But it's to make him famous. Is it to be the most popular, the most beautiful? Is it for that? Because I'm pretty sure I don't see that in the gospel. I don't see that. You know, that we would draw all men unto him, you know, and I have this, like, the breaking in my heart for the world that sees the church and the shenanigans that has gone on. And, you know, we need to be authentic and real, but even sometimes, like, you know, in that, like, it's all about our motivations. Of who we are as leaders. And I would just really pray, Christina, for, you know, I know you do carry that heart, Cynthia. It's just like that, you know, the ways that your generation has been damaged by some of those leaders, that God would just scoop you all up and look at what he's done. I mean, just what a beautiful story. It just comes full circle where there was somebody who came in, you know, for you all, and God used that person. But I say, anybody who really wants to be a leader, you need to understand what you're asking for.
Well,
it doesn't come with
that is the problem. You know, the word says, if my name be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. It doesn't say if your name, Cynthia, or if your name, Nova, or your name, Christina, be lifted up, you will draw all men to God, you know? And that's the problem. And it's like, no, but it's really, you know, it's really, really, really intriguing about, unfortunately, really examining where you are before you step into a role of leadership in your life.
And,
you know, listen, for all of you who are watching, you know, that leadership role might include leadership of one person. You know, it might include 10 people. It may include 10,000. It may include 10 million. Yeah. But the point is, you know, if you're faithful with a little, he can make you ruler over much. This is where you have to start to understand that these scriptures are real and connected, and they equal the whole counsel of God moving you in your life. And it's interesting because, you know, the Bible is very clear about not lifting up novices, right?
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I think that, you know, it's funny, it's making me think of a secular lesson that I was taught. Yeah. I was in my 20s. I'll never forget it. And I remember I was going out with my boyfriend. We were leaving his dad's house from dinner, and we were going to go out for the night, right, in New York. And this is way BC, before my surrender to Christ, right? I thought that I was a Christian, but I had not surrendered to Christ. So in any case, I remember my boyfriend at the time, but he looked at us and he said, okay, here's the lesson for the night. And this is how he was, you know, he was kind of a funny, you know, older man. And he said, always admit how high you are. Mm. Always. It'll keep you out of trouble. And I remember looking at him thinking, oh my goodness, is your father talking to us about, like, always admit how drunk we are or how high we are? Like, I don't even know what to say to this. This is so like, this is your dad. And what kind of relationship do you guys have? And, but I kind of knew what he was talking about. And I remember, in his very secular way, he taught me a lesson that I've taken through my entire life. You know, you have to always admit to yourself whether or not you're ready to drive the car. Whether or not you're ready to have that business conversation, you've got to, like, it's like really and truly knowing, have I had too much to drink? Have I had too much to do whatever? And as believers, you know, we hear those lessons and we think we automatically spiritualize it, hyper-spiritualize it. But what we don't realize is that we are spiritual. Like, in him we live and move and have our being. So everything is a lesson in how to apply scripture in our lives. And that, if you think about that, before you step onto a podium or a pulpit or up to a microphone as a leader, you would probably, like Nova said, have cause to pause before taking on the responsibility of it. And, you know, it's really a trip, because every time I get asked to do something, my immediate response is always, am I ready for this, God? Like, I always go there, because I know that in a moment of unreadiness on a platform, I could make a mess of the ministry that he, you know, stewards through me. I could make a mess of the people that are listening.
Yeah. You
know? It's heavy. I mean, it's a mantle. It's, you know, I, you know, it's the thing sometimes about the body of believers, like we're, when we are in a place where we feel like we're not perfect, or we're in, we have no one to share that with. And then it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then it's either, and this is true. I don't care who it is. I don't care what situation, Cynthia, I don't like it. You either get exposed for who you are, or you get exposure. And those are two very different things. And every single time, you guys, I've watched it over and over. It breaks my heart when I see families being ripped apart because they weren't okay to just be honest from the beginning. Yeah. You know, it's just like they collude with the enemy and just like, it's going to be okay. We'll just hide over here. And just bottom line is everything always surfaces. Everything.
Always. It's true, dude.
The truth always comes to light.
It always does. You know, it always does.
Yeah.
It just does. And you sometimes, you know, I really like, you know, right? Isn't it David in the Psalms? He's just like, why are, you know, people getting away with this and that, right? And the other thing, like, and sometimes you sit there, we sit there as Christians, goes like, well, how could that be happening? And I just go, God, that's yours. Like you deal, like, cause sometimes I'm like, how can they get away with that? And it's like, it will come to light here or there somehow.
Especially,
And then in the same way, like I check my own heart to go, I don't want to be like, well, that's in over there. That just causes me to go, okay, Lord, I want to get this right. Like it should, and when those things happen, it should always give us cause for self-reflection with our relationship with the Lord. Not like, yeah, you terrible, rotten sinner. It should always go, I'm going to pray for you. And I need to have compassion, empathy for you. And then I also need to just go, okay, Lord, this isn't so I can puffeth myself upeth that I'm such an awesome Christian who's got all my garbage together. I have to go, okay, God, check me right now. Where is my character? Because I will either be exposed for the inner workings of my heart, or I will get exposure and God's name will become great through my life. But it is so serious. We sat around this week and my son just turned 20. Mm. And we sat around, we had a little party for him. And I sat there just weeping because I think I shared this story with you guys. Long story, very short, so that I can just give a snippet to our viewers. My son has been sold out to Jesus since he was 4. He lived a life just saying, yes, God, yes, God. What started a study in a secular school Bible study. Kids were getting saved. He barely knew the word of God as a 6, 7, 8 year old. He's like, amen, hallelujah, you're getting saved. Like he tore it up, you know. He was rejected in high school. I mean, everyone loved him. He ended up getting this crazy, huge like honor at the end of the school year. Everybody loved him, but they could not be around him because they were like, we want a party, dude. And you love Jesus too much. They loved him. So rejected the altar high school, never invited, but he was like, it's an honor they don't invite me, mama, because they know if they were even to invite me, it would show me something about my character. They never invited me. Yeah. He goes, you know what? I can hold on to my character. I was like, who are you? I want to be like you. Whatever. So rejected, never invited. On the very last day of high school, this kid comes up to him and says, Elisha, will you come to my birthday party? It's the last day of high school. Last day. Going into his sophomore year, he sat crying with us, you know, the night before going, you're my only friends. I have no one. And he was just so he, there were so many tears. Last day of high school, this kid comes up to him and says, if there's no girls, there's no drinking, there's no drugs, there's nothing. I changed everything just so you would come. Will you come, Elisha? Mm. And he says, and he's like, he called me. He goes, do you think I can trust it? Do you think they're going to try to trap me? And I go, you're supposed to go. Last day of high school. You fast forward a couple of years. These kids are still doing shenanigans. Two nights ago, this kid came to my son's, to our house, and we do this thing on all of our birthdays that, you know, whoever comes, we just speak life over that person. We just like speak life. So this kid, you know, kind of walking with the Lord, not really, but he shows up at Elisha's party and he stands up and he says, you've loved me when I was so unlovable, and I respect you, and I think you show Jesus to me. And I sit there and I go, wow, God, like, that is so awesome. Like, you know, and, but there are times my son has wanted to quit having good character, you guys. He's like, this sucks. My life sucks.
Bet, dude. Yeah.
Right? It's, my life is terrible because
it's lonely.
It's lonely. And
that's the top.
Oh my gosh, Cynthia, that's the whole point. Leadership is lonely,
yeah.
But you don't have to be isolated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what, you guys, we're going to take a quick break for this week. We're going to come back with some more Girl Club sessions with Nova Page and Christina Boudreau. And we're going to pick up there because yes, it is lonely. Leadership is lonely. And it makes me ask the question, you know, how often did Jesus have to go and get alone to be still and know his God? So, I'm Cynthia Garrett. We'll see you next week. Hi, everyone. I'm Cynthia Garrett, your host of The Sessions, and I hope you're enjoying each and every episode each week of our virtual sessions from home. I hope you're staying well, and I hope you're staying happy, and I hope that you'll feel encouraged to pick up a copy of my new book, I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor. And I also hope that in your efforts to walk in victory in your life, you'll become a member of Girl Club. It's a live Friday life and Bible study that I am bringing you with a host of regular real girls having real talk about real issues and applying our real faith. You can find out how to register and become a part of Girl Club and how to see all things Cynthia Garrett at cynthiagarrett.org or at ichoosevictory.com. I love you guys. I'll see you soon.